Now, and this is all out in Winthrop.
Yep.
Okay, and you're growing up on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now tell me about your paternal grandfather.
He was, he came over from Sweden somewhere in the 1860s. It's always got a lot foggy. All four of my grandparents came at that same time. They didn't know each other. But he came over, and they started, he married my grandmother. She I think he met her over here. And they farmed near Bernadotte, Minnesota, which is a Swedish town. This was to be the Swedish community in that area until a railroad went farther north, and then Winthrop was the one. Winthrop Gaylord.
Mm-hmm.
And but they still have the church there. They have a wonderful they have several festivals, it seems like they have, and it's just a wonderful place. And you still hear some accents there if you really listen closely.
Now, so your heritage is farming on both sides.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
My grandparents farm. My dad went into World War II.
He did.
Back then they wanted the eldest man in the family to go to war, which was pretty much the deal. Wow. And he volunteered and went into World War II.
Well, that's amazing because he had children and wife, and he was a farmer, and they needed the farmers. And yet he got into the service.
He did.
That's
as a matter of fact, he was the eldest. And another thing is that usually the eldest gets the farm when they leave. That was the way it was back then, although he had to make sure all the other siblings were well taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And so he came back expecting to someday own the farm. He got back and found out they had to sell. So he came back, and there's no farm. And he decided that he would rent farms.
Mm-hmm.
And he would just keep, hopefully, putting some money away until he could buy one.
Okay.
Well, that went fine until what happened? The end of the 20s, when the crash, and then comes the Depression. And not only in the 30s.
Oh, you know what? I think you said the Second World War. You meant
Did I say Second World War?
Yeah, you meant
First
the
World
First
War.
World
I'm sorry.
War.
First
okay,
World War.
Okay, now I understand that. Okay.
I'm sorry. Confusing.
All right.
Okay, we talk about the late 20s when things start to fall apart.
Okay, you're born in 1928.
28.
And that's right at the...
Right at the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he's now renting the farm because his siblings had to sell it off.
He had rented a couple different farms.
Winthrop.
The one that where I grew up on was this one just 2 miles from Winthrop. And it was wonderful. But, you know, in the 30s, dry, very, very dry.
Well, the Dust Bowl.
Dust Bowl.
And that hit Minnesota, right?
Well, it hit Minnesota, but not only that, I remember, dust storms coming in from the Dakotas. We would, in the house, Mom would wet one of those big, heavy quilts, hang it over the door facing west, because it would come in through the winds and the stuff would come into the house. And it was tough. So here Dad's going through, you know, tough times with the drought. And finally, when we get to World War II, my older brother goes first, and he starts making a little money because the prices went up during the war. But he still never had enough to have a farm that he would own.
Now, when you were on the farm, you had no indoor plumbing, correct?
Oh, absolutely not.
I mean, you ran to the outhouse.
No electricity.
No electricity, no water indoors.
No water. Well, we did have one of those...
pump in the sink?
Yeah, yeah, you know, just rainwater coming off the roof and going down into a pit.
Cistern?
Yeah. Yeah. We did have that, but not drinking water.
And then, your oldest brother goes off to the Second World War?
He does.
Okay, so... Back in those days, when you were growing up in Winthrop, did you have access to radio? Were you familiar with radio programming?
Battery radio.
By a windmill?
You'd have the antenna out to the windmill. That's right.
Yeah.
But the batteries, it was unbelievable. You had like a big 12-volt battery like you have in a car, plus a couple of B batteries and C batteries, all in this packed to run that radio. But, yeah, I did have radio.
Now, what's your first recollection of listening to radio in Winthrop when you were a young boy or a teenager?
Oh, the kids' shows. Oh, okay. Captain Midnight.
Yes.
And Jack Armstrong.
Do you remember the guy steps on the scale and puts the coin in the slot? And then they say, the fat man.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that one?
Oh.
How about L-A-V-A, bum, bum,
bum, bum, bum, bum, bum, bum.
Yeah.
L-A, the FBI.
Right.
Peace and war.
Good old days.
We do, when Charlie and I do a show at the Olog, we love to do a version of those old-time radio shows, only brought up to date.
Yeah. So what about school? When you were going to school, you were the middle kid. Well, actually, Cliff and Douglas were ahead of you by six years. And how much older was Douglas?
He was, let's see, Cliff was five. He was about 3 years older.
Okay. So what was school like when you started going to school in the 1930s?
Well, I went and with my older brother. I went to Winthrop, the same building as the high school.
I'm talking about when there wasn't a one-room schoolhouse for you?
Yes, there was for my brother Dick and Kurt.
Okay.
We eventually moved to another part that wasn't in the Winthrop School District except for high school. So you had your own. So brother Dick and Kurt went to that school.
Okay.
And... But no, I was always in the big one.
Okay, now what about plowing? What did you use horses or tractors, or how did what was the transition there?
You know, it's interesting. I love where you're going with this because I love to talk about it. And people always ask, why don't you write a book about your experiences? And no way. Charlie says the same thing. No way. I mean, in order to sell a book, you got to have it. You got to say something bad about some people or tell some dirty stories or something. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not. But I am what I was thinking of doing for my daughter and her children. Just write something about
memoirs.
Memoirs, because what a thing is it just my period of living coming from what life was like in the late 20s to now, it's unbelievable. And early days of farming, when back in the 30s, we had an old tractor, an old Fordson tractor, that I'm sure Dad bought secondhand, and it was hard to start. But
that was a big deal, wasn't it?
It was a big deal, because now we could plow.
Yeah.
We could plow what do you call those things that throw it over?
Plows. two tines?
No,
I don't know.
But anyway, we could plow with two as compared to one when you had horses.
Uh-huh.
And that really helped.
Now, do you remember the horses?
Oh, absolutely. We all, my older brother, I think my brother Dick, too, got in on that, cultivated corn. We had these one-row cultivators, two horses. You'd look down and watch. You'd have that. Make sure you don't cut out the stalks as they're going through. But, you know, there was no chemicals to take care of the weeds back then.
No.
It was just plowing, or as some people call it, cultivating. And you'd kind of be watching down there. You'd have the reins strapped around your shoulders if you needed to. Mostly the horses would march along to the end. And at the end of the row, they decided it's time for a rest.
Yeah.
And, of course, I would be in my teenage years, maybe out at the Gibbon Ballroom on Wednesday night, and this is Thursday, and I'm tired. They fall asleep. So do I.
and Dad says,
pretty soon a tap on the shoulder.
Yeah.
but it was great. It was such a great experience. But when I think how far we've come from then, it's unbelievable. Thrashing, another thing. What a wonderful thing that was. What a community deal it was.
Shocking.
Shocking, yeah. Did you do that?
Once. That was enough.
Now, you can ask Governor Alcuia about that. I'm sure he's done
that. Oh, yeah.
But shocking was, you know, you put two together here and then two on this side and two on this side, maybe one on either side.
I always remember the snakes that you'd find underneath them. That's what I remember most. And I did it in short-sleeve shirt once.
Oh, with barley.
Once
with barley. Oh. Barley would get right up in your armpits.
Yep.
And their beards.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. Now, did the horses that you have that pulled the plow, were they pets?
One was. And we could write Star. And he was wonderful. And he was shorter than the others. But he was the best working horse. He'd always be just a little ahead of his partner and doing more than his share of pulling. But he allowed us to ride. He was just unbelievable, or she, just unbelievable.
And, of course, you had chickens and eggs.
Oh, absolutely. You know what I think most farms did back then? You had to be kind of everything. Mm-hmm. Something doesn't work out. The grain prices don't work out. Or something. Well, you got eggs. I remember that. We'd go into town on a Saturday night. Saturday night was a big thing.
In Winthrop,
and I think most communities.
Yep.
Saturday night, they were open. There'd probably be a band concert. Be a band concert on Wednesday night, Saturday night. But Saturday night, all the places were open. And they'd all the farmers and everybody would gather. It was wonderful.
Now, would your dad stop in and have a beer?
Well, I don't know if he had a beer or not.
My mom shop.
But he, I'm sure he did at times, but mostly they stood around and talked about farming.
Was your family a religious family, Lutheran?
Yes, oh yes.
So yep. You went to the Lutheran church?
You betcha.
Okay. And that's where the, what is it, the Lutherans make the green jello or whatever it is, that or peas and whatever it is, but that they serve at when you have a potluck. They bring the casserole.
Oh, with the jello.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
You
got to have that.
Oh, yeah. You had the green jello for that. And then on very special occasions, you had the orange or red jello.
So would you slaughter hogs?
Oh, yeah.
And then did you have what was your basement like? Was it a pantry for your...
No, it was just a dugout in the ground.
And how did you heat the home?
Well, with a furnace. You can either put wood in there or coal. It was in the living room, and then you had a little register going upstairs, opening mm-hmm. up there. But in those cold winter days, it wasn't enough.
And what about baths?
Baths?
Where were you in the order taking a bath?
In a tub.
Yeah.
One of the wash tubs.
Yeah.
But now you got to think about where you're going to get that water. If you do have some of that stuff still in the cistern, but even then, that gets pumped up in this kind of coffee color because it's taken off the roof, you know, and down the drain, but there, you know, leaves or something up there turn the color, and it just wasn't quite right. In the winter, it was easy to go up and get snow, especially after the fresh snow, and then you put that on the stove and heat it. And of course, we always had, for sure, we had baths on Saturday night.
Now, but where were you in line? Didn't you have to share the water?
Absolutely. So. Well, I eventually, when my brother went off to war in 19, almost immediately after, I was then the eldest. So I got the choice.
Wow.
And besides, I had to be the cleanest because I was going to go out on a date.
Okay.
You know, and the others didn't matter so much. Well, but we go out and scoop up snow and then melt it. And it got done. In the summertime, we went to Stanley Lynn's gravel pit. Now, this was a very straight plain of beautiful soil in that area around Winthrop and a much, you know, the prairie. But, you know, back in the days when they wanted to build roads or something, they had to find gravel someplace. So almost everybody had a gravel pit on their farm. And usually be if there's any little loft, then you could get, you know, go and then they dug down. But it would fill up with water much of the time. Mm-hmm. You'd go there and swim. And that's a lot of, in the summertime, you go there and bathe. On Saturday night, we run over there. Sometimes there were some different creatures in the water you had to fend off.
Yeah.
But it got you clean.
Well, speaking about clean, how long, is this the longest you've ever gone on commercial broadcast facility without taking a break? I'll bet it is.
Huh? I admire you for that.
Well, we're going to take a break and we'll be back. But I got to tell everybody about my friend Tom Furlong, who is the owner-operator of Tom Furlong's General Motors Superstore.
Down at an English fair, one evening I was there, when I heard a showman shouting underneath the flare, I bought a lovely bunch of coconuts.
Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
This was 2 years after you got out of high school, 1949, and this is Freddie Martin and his band.
That's what the chairman said. I've got
a lovely bunch of coconuts.
All right, Roger Erickson is with us, and Roger Erickson, of course, the voice of WCCO Radio for many, many years, and let's say decades. And Roger, I have to ask you, when you have an older brother by 6 years and another older brother by 3 years, Cliff and Douglas, when did you get your bicycle?
I got to tell you about that.
All right, I'll listen.
Brother Kurt was born 6 years later, and on the same date, January 30th, same date as my birthday. And I guess my mom and dad kind of knew that it's going to be about that time. So they were teasing me. I was 6 years old at the time. You're going to have a baby brother for your birthday, maybe. And I thought, well, they're kidding.
Yeah. Who wants a baby brother?
Who wants a baby buddy, yeah. Brother, you know? And they kept on, yeah, baby brother. So I'm upstairs sleeping, 6 years old, right? And I wake up, it's my birthday, and I got to run down and see, I bet they got a special present for me because I had been asking for a sled and didn't have a pretty good sled. So I went down there, and they were kind of hanging around the downstairs bedroom where all of us were born. And they said, here is your birthday present.
Oh,
and it's
no.
Baby Kurt. And I started bawling.
I believe
they
you.
They still talked about it. I cried and whooped. I wanted a sled.
Did you get anything?
No, I can't remember. Okay. But we didn't get the sled.
I can believe that you were disappointed. You know, you mentioned about coming downstairs birthday morning, January 30th in 1934. I would imagine you were in bed with Cliff and Douglas because the heat went through the floor mm-hmm. up into the upstairs room, and everybody slept together to keep warm, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, there wasn't that room, much room up there anyway. So you had to sleep at least two to a bed, sometimes three.
Now, do you remember when you first got electricity and a light bulb?
Well, yeah. Now, that was, you know, they started... Well, President Roosevelt's thing, electrifying.
REA.
Yeah. Which was really good. Mm-hmm. War coming and everything, and you could. But anyway, but not us. It never came our way. And you could understand why the private companies didn't do it. Because electrifying the rural area, you had to these long
miles
and miles between. So, but any REA came along. Now, some got REA before World War II, but not many. And then it was stopped during World War II. And then afterwards, and we got it in 1949.
Oh, wow.
But that was a big deal.
Yeah.
Now, I came home from the university, I remember, just for the unveiling.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the war years. You were born in 1928, So you were 13 years old on December 7th, 1941. Mm-hmm. Tell me, you had the battery-operated radios.
Right.
You're out in the middle of nowhere, out near Winthrop, 2 miles east. Tell me how you found out that Sunday morning or afternoon about the bombing of Pearl Harbor.
Actually, my Uncle Joe and his wife were on hand and that day visiting, and they had the radio on in the background, and it was WCCO, and it was it the opera or symphony, one or the other. Anyway, it was on in the background, and then my Uncle Joe said to my dad, "Carl, come in, hear this, something about," and of course the announcer, can't remember what was his name on CBS that did it, he pronounced Oahu wrong. Remember that?
I don't.
The Japanese have attacked the U.S. Armed Forces base in Ohua, Hawaii.
Okay.
Nobody knew what any
didn't know the difference.
From that.
Yeah.
You know. Well, where is that? What's that? What? I remember.
Well,
that.
Even Hawaii was kind of a strange place.
It really was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a jungle. You know,
yeah.
Far off, distant country. But did you see the concern on your father's face and your Uncle Joe's face?
Oh, yeah. I think they talked about that for the rest of the day.
And then of course, Cliff had to, did he run right off and join?
Not too much later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yet, do you remember him coming home on leave in a uniform?
Oh, yeah.
What was that like?
Oh, that was something. As a matter of fact, there's a picture of him. Dad put on his World War I uniform along with Cliff's uniform. Of course, the World War I uniforms, you know, they had the leggings,
yeah,
and that Smokey the Bear hat and all that sort of stuff. That's a wonderful, wonderful picture. My brother then he was at Princeton University studying something for the U.S. Army. And we never know what it was, because he was told he couldn't tell what it was.
Mm.
But he eventually went overseas and was in a lot of action. He was in the Battle of the Bulge.
Wow.
Which was...
horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
Did he write home? Did you write to him?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Yeah. Do you remember a victory garden?
Oh, victory garden. Yeah, but we always had a garden.
Yeah.
But a lot of people in town who never had gardens before, yeah, raised their own vegetables and so on, yeah. But on the farm, you always had...
A garden.
A garden.
Because your mom canned.
Yeah, absolutely. Canned meat.
Yeah.
Is that all right to mention butchering?
Absolutely. It's amazing what you can say on radio nowadays.
Well, I don't want to spoil anybody's... breakfast.
Oh, it's over with. The quarterback's closing in 7 minutes.
But you know, you'd have in the fall, actually, you know, it was pretty much a self-contained unit. You actually could exist on that farm without having to go into town,
mm-hmm,
really. Because you'd get that meat, and we'd have the relatives, you'd go from one to another. My auntie Ellen Lindgren would be over helping mom and vice versa, and they would can meat, frying it and preparing it and then canning it. And you know, when they brought that meat out, and it had kind of, you know, already the stuff.
Gel.
Yeah, gelled, which became like a delicious kind of a, it was just wonderful,
mm-hmm,
you know. And made sausage.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever do that?
No,
that was fun. And the kids, we got to do the grinder.
The grinder. Yeah, I've done that.
And fill it out.
Yeah.
Of course, we'd always try to fill it too full, and then it'd burst.
Yeah. I can just see you doing that. See how much we can get in this. How big can we make this sausage? And when you were growing up in the 30s, of course, we had the dust storms, we had the, mm-hmm, depression, and then you get into the 40s and we've got the war going, and you don't have any electricity, you don't have, yep, indoor plumbing. And yet, by today's standards, you should have been totally and absolutely miserable, but you didn't know any better, did you?
No. I only remember that it was wonderful. It really was. I loved it. We had a stream, you know, it's really flat, wonderful, yeah, wonderful black earth. But there was a stream, a creek running through it that eventually, I think, went to the Minnesota River. And, of course, back then, it was all kind of natural, and nobody dug the ditches. It was natural. And it had cottonwoods. And you'd around would be you couldn't do anything with that area by the trees because it was wet in the spring and into the seeding season. Then later we could make hay there. And I loved it because all along there were gooseberries.
Gooseberries.
Gooseberries. And we'd pick gooseberries and then Mom would make gooseberry jam. And
was that a great place for pheasant hunting?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was back then because you had fence lines. Now you don't see them there. You know, it's just...
As far as the eye can see.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You'd rotate crops and you'd rotate pasture even, you know. So you had fences kind of everywhere. And that's where the pheasants would hide. And then when you'd have the corn, they'd be in the cornfields, and you have all the relatives... Come out from the yep. ones from the city,
yep.
and they'd bring presents.
No license, I suppose, at that time?
I can't remember about okay. that. I do remember that we had one wealthy kind of friends. They were friends of theirs, and they'd come and ask to hunt. But they'd always bring, they had a boy 2 years older than I, and they'd bring his clothes, and I had pretty fancy new clothes because, very frankly, we couldn't afford.
Sure, I imagine that.
And it was pretty neat.
So, you know, I asked you earlier if you remember your first bike, and we told the story about your brother being born for your birthday instead of getting a sled. But did you ever have a bicycle?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And was it a hand-me-down from Clifford or Douglas, or how'd that work?
You know, I can't remember. I think it was a hand-me-down.
Okay. When you went to town on Saturday nights, did they have a movie theater, a piece of...
Oh, yeah.
A sheet against the wall of a store?
No, they had a theater.
They did.
Yeah, and there was bank night, too.
What was that?
Remember bank night?
No.
They had, for Saturday night, when everybody was in town, then they'd go to the movies, and then they'd have a big drawing for, you know, how much, $10 or whatever it is, and there was bank night. I think it was sponsored by the bank, too.
Oh, so that's why they call it bank night.
Yeah.
So do you remember the movies that you went to as a kid?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, was that Abbott and Lou Costello, or was it Charlie Chaplin? Or
no, it was, and, you know, I can't remember.
Well, Gone with the Wind, was that a movie in 1939?
Yeah.
So you'd have seen that. You'd have been.
I suppose, yeah.
So, but, you know, popcorn and kissing in the balcony, anything like that?
That was later.
That was later. Well, why don't we take a break and we'll get to later. Roger Erickson is my guest here on KYMN Radio. If his voice sounds familiar, he was on WCCO Radio. Why don't you say a WCCO station break like you used to?
WCCO, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Bing!
You train! Yeah, get along there!
Clippity-clopping over hill and lane. Seems as how they
name
never
that tune.
Stop.
Mule train!
Frankie Lane.
Well, you know what happens at the top of the hour at most radio stations, and all your career at least, the top of the hour was a break for the news, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I got 45 seconds. I'm going to have to take a break.
Okay.
All right. So when we come back after the news coming up, Roger, we got to get you into Winthrop going to school. How did you get there? The 3 miles uphill both ways and
yep,
all that.
That's right.
Snow up to your armpits. 6 months.
Well, I'll tell you about the a couple of snowstorms.
Okay, well, we would have the Armistice Day snowstorm.
One especially.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll look forward to that after the news coming up next on your radio station, all right?
Okay, you betcha then.
All right, this is
sure.
Okay, this is KYMN Radio, you know.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah, you know what?
Yes, isn't that cute?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You sound like Tallulah.
Oh, sure then.
You know what KYMN stood for at one time?
Well, KY is Kentucky and MN's Minnesota, so it's Kentucky, Minnesota?
No, KYMN. Oh. Keep your money in Northfield.
Very good.
Why, thank you, Roger Erickson. Roger Erickson from the WCCO studios is my guest here this morning. And Roger, as you can tell, of the two-hour interview that I asked you to join me, we're not even out of high school yet, so I will tell you now, hopefully you can come down again sometime, and because we're not going to get done with your life. You
know? Well, this is fun. I want to hear about you. I mean, does everybody know about this guy?
You know what?
Talk about a giant in the industry.
Oh, keep talking.
On the board of Pavic Museum, Radio Broadcasting Museum,
yeah.
And, you know, well-respected, and, oh, yeah, it's an honor to be on your show.
And do you know what I did for you?
What?
Now, when I say I don't mean I. But when I was president of the Minnesota Broadcasters Association,
yeah.
It was right about the time you and Charlie retired as a team on WCCO. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? What we should do is we should put on a nice big celebration. And if you recall,
that
we held
fun.
A banquet for you
yeah.
and Charlie.
That was great.
Tuxedo, black tie.
Yeah.
and we honored you and your great careers in broadcasting. And, of course, it was a fundraiser for the Pavic.
Yeah.
So it worked out for everybody.
The great thing about it was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, just people just...
Yeah, it wasn't serious
yeah,
at all.
Yeah, right.
Nobody
yeah.
was getting any awards and people
no.
at the edge of their seat, is it going to be me
no.
or anything?
Got to be entertaining.
Yeah, and it was.